Hello, everyone. Looks like the whole crowd's on this side tonight, huh? Just move on over this way. All right, amen. I love being in God's presence. I love praising and worshiping Him. It's so good. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and just open up in some more prayer before I get started. So, Lord, I thank you for this evening. I thank you for this awesome time that we've had in praising and worshiping your name. I thank you, God, for this word that came from you. May the words that come out of my mouth not be mine, but yours. And I thank you, God, that we are able to receive it, to hear it, and that it blesses our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So as about 100% of you, 100% of you know, I'm a preschool teacher, and we have a lot of little people. I teach 4- and 5-year-olds, so we have a lot of kids who like to interrupt the teacher, who like to just speak their mind, whether it be, you know, about their latest bowel movement or what they had to eat or what their parents were arguing about the night before. That's typically what you might hear from a 4- or 5-year-old. Well, in my classroom, we received this book to help with that. And as the other teacher was reading it, it's called My Mouth is a Volcano. And as the other teacher was reading this story, I was sitting down with the students, and I was getting my own personal revelation from this book. It was meant to help 4- and 5-year-olds, and I believe God really spoke to me through this book. So that's the title of this message for any of you that are curious or taking notes. It's called My Mouth is a Volcano. And I thought it was so interesting that Pastor Calvin shared out of Proverbs 18, right before church started, because the key verse for this evening's message is Proverbs 18:21, and that says, "Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." Out of a simpler version, it says, "The tongue can speak words that will bring life or death. Those who love to talk must be ready to accept what it brings." And so personally, when it comes to my thoughts and my words, many times I have found myself on either one of two spectrums or speeds. I'm either on cruise control and my brain's kind of asleep and I'm not really thinking about what I'm saying and then I regret it later, or I'm on eruption mode as volcanoes erupt, depending on the mood. And I've been battling with this pretty much all of my life. But more recently, the Holy Spirit has been talking to me about it, and God posed a question to me. And that question is, am I thinking before speaking, and am I listening to what I'm hearing? Am I thinking before speaking, and am I actually listening to what I am hearing? Because there's a difference between listening to someone speak or listening to a certain type of music, and there's a difference between hearing it and hearing what people are saying. So that's been something I've been pondering and meditating on a lot lately. Proverbs 15:28 says, "The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things." Well, many of us might say, well, what is righteous? And I don't like that word, because, you know, in the 1800s when it was used a lot, it was like, oh, well, you're trying to be righteous and you're trying to be holy, and that's so snobby and so stuck up. And, you know, I don't like that word, righteous. So I looked up what righteous meant, because I like definitions and I like writing and reading. And so a few synonyms for righteous is good, virtuous, decent, principled, high-minded, law-abiding, honest, honorable, blameless, noble, and pure. Now, for a lot of people who don't like the word righteous, I don't think they know the definition, because I really like that word, righteous, especially because it means high-minded. And that that synonym really stuck out to me because what does it say in Colossians? It says to set our minds on things above and not on things that are on the earth. And what are things above? Well, if we're high-minded, then we're thinking about good things and positive things and ways to help people and to build them up, not to tear them down. So the second part of that verse is, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Well, you might think, wicked, that's a strong word to be wicked. You know, that means, maybe that means you're a witch or, you know, evil things. A lot of people tend to think, and me myself, I used to be one of them, think evil simply means, you know, demons and, you know, murder and things like that, really horrible, horrible things that people do and people commit, which is true. But that's not the only thing that evil entails. Wicked means sinful, corrupt, depraved, unlawful, and crooked. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, it says we're to walk the narrow path, right? And that we're to walk a path that we can only go through Jesus to get to God from, and it's a narrow path. Well, if we're walking crooked and we're, you know, we're very high-tempered and we go this way and then, oh, you know, I'm really depressed today and, oh, I'm really upset today. And if we're going back and forth, then that means we're living by our emotions and that's not who we are. We're not our emotions because our emotions pass from one moment to the next. What does our character look like? And who are we trying to portray? What type of person are we trying to be? Isaiah 55:7 says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So if we're not being righteous and we're being unrighteous, we need to change our thoughts. So it all begins with our thoughts. Our character begins with our thoughts because our thoughts make up the words that come out of our mouths, which displays the type of person we are, right? And so that last part of the verse says, for he will abundantly pardon, he will forgive. If God forgives us every time we come to him for forgiveness, why would we let things that seem really small slip through the cracks? I mean, of course, if you commit what humanistically thinking we would call a large sin, such as, I don't know, laundering money, or, you know, committing some kind of act that would get us in trouble. If we ask God to forgive us for those huge things, and he forgives us, and he's ready to forgive us, why can't we ask him for the little things? Why can't we have that type of relationship with him where we're comfortable enough to say, you know what, God, I shouldn't have said that. Please forgive me. And so I feel like we think, we just go by our human mentality because how are people with us? Sometimes they forgive us, sometimes they don't. Sometimes you just got to move on and a relationship will die off, a friendship or you know, a relationship with a coworker. It will go bad because, you know, there's no forgiveness there. But God is ready to forgive. It says in his word, many of us have experienced it. God is ready and willing to forgive no matter what the situation is because he loves us and he wants a relationship with us. He wants us to be able to come to him in prayer and just have a conversation with him. And if we look at the following verse, Isaiah 55:8, he goes on to say, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. So we need to heed our thoughts and our words more. We need to give them much more credit for what happens in our lives, for what our character looks like, for what our children's character looks like. What are we producing and in turn sowing into others? 2 Corinthians 10:5. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. We need to destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. Me personally, I have always, always dealt with pride. Pride is one of the biggest things that it's a big elephant in the room that always likes to try and get through the doorway. And I always have to try and keep them out. But, you know, whenever I say something wrong or whenever I do something I shouldn't have, it used to be very difficult for me to bring it up or to maybe apologize or to, you know, to ask God for forgiveness. And so we need to destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. Because when it comes down to it, that's what we're called to do. We're called to bring people to know God. And that's through our character. So when I study Jesus and his character, I find that Jesus is always two things. If you read about him in the Bible, you will see that he's two things. He's attentive and he's intentional. Now, what does attentive mean? Assiduously attending to the comfort and wishes of others. Alert, observant, and aware. Intentional, with an aim or plan. I love the Latin definition of the word intentional because it means to stretch purpose, stretching purpose. So it's going the extra mile when you're doing something with intention. It can also mean a design or calculation. And medically speaking, it even means healing. It could be a healing process for a wound. So I thought that was very interesting. So every word that comes from our mouths should be a reflection of Jesus Christ, because that's what we're called to do. So there are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's part of what forms our relationship with him. It's why he died on the cross for us. It's why we're able to walk through that ripped curtain and boldly approach the throne. It's how we're able to freely worship him and to gain access to all the knowledge and the power that he has stored up for us. So we need to get out of cruise control and break that button with alertness and with hunger for his word. Because don't you want more? Personally, I want more. I want to learn more and more about God and about who he is and about what he has called for my life and what I should be doing in life. Because, I mean, the first time I met him, all I want to do is just please him. His presence is so good, and he gives you wisdom and knowledge and discernment for things. You know, and that really excites me. That excites me. Matthew 12:34 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the majority of the people here have given their hearts to Christ. We know what that means. As Christians, we know what it means to give your heart to Jesus. We teach it to our children. You know, we have them pray with us, and we say, well, now Jesus lives in your heart, and now you can talk to him, and he can help you with things, and you can ask him what you need to do. And so we say that, and sometimes I think it can get put on a childish level to where we just leave it at that. That, oh, you know, yeah, Jesus is in your heart, and so you need to make right decisions, you need to do the right thing. But aren't we children of God? So, I mean, we're not God's adults. It doesn't say in his word that we're God's adults, we're God's children. So we need to keep that childlike mentality, and we need to remember that, you know, if Jesus lives in our hearts, then what are we portraying? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's flowing out of our heart? Luke 6:45 says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So what type of person are we? What type of character do we have? What are we striving for in life? How would we like to portray ourselves to others, and most importantly, to God? What type of person are we? So this has been a meditation of mine this year, and I've always tried to ask God for wisdom and discernment. And honestly, I believe it's one of the things that I have the most faith for, because when I first came to Christ, when I first made that decision, you know, to give my life to Jesus, I had no idea that I could talk to him. Growing up in the church that I went to every other Sunday or however it was, I never knew that I could actually have a relationship with God, that I could speak to him, that I could pray to him about anything. Honestly, to me, I was just scared. It was kind of like, you know, God, yes, he is reverent. Do not get me wrong. You need to have reverence towards God. But he's also a loving father. And he cares about us. And he wants to hear our concerns. And he wants us to be comfortable enough to be able to ask him any little thing. Because it says in his word, ask and you shall receive. It doesn't say ask and maybe you'll receive. Ask and if God feels like it, maybe he'll answer your prayer. No, if we have faith and we ask, we'll receive. And so that absolutely fascinated me. And that just made me so much hungry for more. Because, I mean, who knew that you could talk to God and you could ask him stuff and he'd actually answer you, right? So two stories that confirmed this in my heart, in God's word, were those of Samuel and of King Solomon. So we're not going to turn to those, but Samuel heard God's audible voice, not once, but three times. He was sleeping and he heard God call him, Samuel, Samuel. And he woke up and he went to Elijah and he said, you know, Master, did you call me? And he said, no, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. That happened three times. And finally, someone realized that, oh, maybe it's God answering you. When next time he calls you, say, Lord, here I am. Yes. You know, respond to him. It's probably God. And so God actually audibly can speak to us if we're open to that. And if we're walking in his will and if we're asking him to speak to us, if we have the desire to hear his voice, he'll speak to us because he loves us. And King Solomon delighted in God and made him proud by asking, oh, I'm sorry. King Solomon delighted God. He did delight in God as well. And made him proud by asking for wisdom and discernment above all else. Now, can you imagine God's smile, like beaming from ear to ear, a proud father when King Solomon, out of all the things he could have asked him, he said, ask me whatever you like and I will give it to you. And the only thing King Solomon thought of, the first thing that came out of his mouth was, give me wisdom and discernment to govern your people. Like, how am I supposed to be king? Give me wisdom and discernment. And so God said, I'll give you wisdom and discernment and everything else that your little heart desires because of what he asked him. So I would love to make God beam from ear to ear like that. So I ask for wisdom and discernment daily because I want my heart to be pure. I want my mentality to be pure. And I want what's coming out of my mouth to build others up and to make others see who I live for, and that's Jesus. I want to reflect his character, and I want to reflect who he is. So I know what it's like to have a rotten, filthy, unhealthy heart. I know what it's like to have a broken and hurting heart. I know what it's like to have a heart wiped clean and sparkling, being filled with God's words and thoughts towards me and towards others. And I even know what it's like to get that clean and sparkling heart dirty again. And so the verse that I've been meditating on the most is Matthew 12:34, that says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what is it that I'm saying? And when a situation has gone wrong, or when I've said something hurtful, or when I've said something that just doesn't feel right, or that I know I shouldn't have, I always go back to this verse. I backtrack and I evaluate the root of the problem. I evaluate what feelings I let creep into my heart, and then I search for the culprit. I search for what I was doing, what I was hearing, what I was watching, what type of negativity I was around. What put me in the position to make me feel the need to say what I said? Because it comes from your heart. The word says in several different places that the words that come out of our mouths come out of our hearts. So we really need to contemplate what it is we're saying to everyone. Proverbs 18:15 says, a discerning heart gains knowledge. The ear of the wise seeks knowledge. A discerning heart gains knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. I would love to be wise. I want to be wise, and I want to know, what am I listening to? You know, it's very common in any workplace for people to feel the need to gossip and to speak negativity over situations. We all know about the little girl in our community who's 4 years old, and she has she had a tumor in her brainstem, and you know, it's all over our community. It's all over from Mexico to Phoenix and beyond. It's everywhere. And you can hear so much negativity about situations because people are scared and because they don't have hope and because they don't know that there's a God who's the doctor of all doctors, who's the healer of all healers. It doesn't matter if it's inoperable. It doesn't matter if it doesn't respond to chemo. It doesn't matter if we can't do radiation there. There's a God who heals. It's been proven. We read about it. I've seen it personally with my own eyes. I mean, why shouldn't we, as people who know God, be speaking life into those who don't? We need to watch out what our words say and what we're listening to. If we hear a lot of negativity, it gets on in the inside of us. And then that's what we end up speaking. And that's what we end up feeling. So we can become pretty good at catching ourselves when saying something not nice. Sorry, I'm using preschool terms. It's my everyday thing. Not nice, something mean. But what about when we're saying something that just isn't edifying, just isn't building up, just isn't positive? Well, if it's not positive, it's negative. I mean, there's nothing in between. You can't half say something positive and expect it to be okay, like, all right, yeah. You know, we're either saying something positive or we're saying something negative. And our words bring life or death. So we can be, you know, messing around or talking with our buddies and you know, we joke about filthy things or we joke about whatever. And, I mean, our words bring life or they bring death. So what kind of environment are we creating? We need to be alert. As 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert and of sober mind. Be watchful. Be of sober spirit. Be vigilant. Be clear-minded. Because your adversary, the devil, is roaming around like a roaring lion, looking for whom he can devour. Just as much as I'm saying God is real and God is alive and God is here, the devil is just as alive and he's around here. And we might play it off as, you know, a childhood fairy tale or whatnot, but the devil is working just as hard as God. He's not as powerful. He doesn't have any power, but he likes to pretend that he does have power. But he's working because we're, you know, God's bringing up a verse that I didn't have in my notes, but we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're not fighting against other people. There's a war going on, and it's a spiritual war, and we're fighting against other powers and darkness and principalities that are not, that don't have anything to do with God and how good he is. So we need to be alert and of sober mind. 1 Peter 1:13 through 14 says, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Do not be conformed to this world. What is this world full of? Negativity. What else? We can think of everything. I mean, yeah, doubt, unbelief. What type of acts are this world filled with? I mean, murder, you know, there's all kinds of things going on in this world. And God's word tells us, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it doesn't say by the renewed mind or renew your mind once. It says by the renewing, a continuous renewing of your mind. Well, how do we renew our mind? What does the word say? The word says that it's what washes us clean. It's what washes our mind. So we need to be filled with God's word. We need to be reading and we need to be asking God to reveal to us what it means. A lot of people might look at the Bible and think, you know, oh, that's only for the priests or the pastors to read, or you know, I don't really need to read about it. I'll just hear, you know, whatever they say at church, and that's enough for me. Or if I want to find a catchy verse online, you know, I'll look up something that maybe goes along with, you know, with whatever I like to post on Facebook. And a lot of people don't understand, and I'm coming to know more, that God's word is life. That's what brings life to us. That's what helps us grow in character and just as who we are. It builds our wisdom and our discernment and our knowledge because we were made in the image of God. So that's what we should be reflecting. We should be reflecting how good he is. Well, I don't know if God's that good. Okay, well, let's learn about him and let's find out. Let's read his word. Let's go deeper. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm trying to learn and to just grow deeper into who he is and who he's called me to be, because I know that's the best plan that I can follow. So let's go back to my volcano analogy from preschool again. So this book is called My Mouth is a Volcano, and I'm just going to read one or two pages just to give you the gist of it. I won't torture you and read you the whole book. The first page here says, when other people talk, words just pop into my head. Then they slide down onto my tongue. My tummy starts to rumble, and then it starts to grumble. It's so funny. My words begin to wiggle, and then they do the jiggle. My tongue pushes all of my important words up against my teeth, and then I erupt. Words just explode out of my mouth, and my mouth is a volcano. Those first couple of pages, man, the other teacher was looking at me like, are you okay? And I was just sitting there like, wow, this is for me. So funny, I'm sitting there with all the four-year-olds and they're getting the same revelation, like, wow, I need to watch what I say. And maybe I should wait and not interrupt the teacher, or maybe I should listen to what I'm hearing, you know? And it's so interesting because, you know, it's about interrupting the teacher. But who's our teacher? Who's the ultimate teacher? The Holy Spirit, our ultimate helper and counsel is the Holy Spirit. So if we're interrupting, you know, and we might be really good at praying. Who knows? Maybe we pray every day and maybe we pray at a certain time every day. But there's two parts to prayer. You pray and you speak and you ask God for things, but then you listen for his response. And he'll speak to you. The Holy Spirit will speak to you if you earnestly desire to hear his voice. He will speak to you. It might come in a thought. You might hear him audibly, which would be kind of scary maybe. You know, he might be like, Jasmine. And I might freak out a little bit if I heard him audibly, which I haven't. But he speaks to us, and he'll give us the advice that we need. He'll give us the next step. He'll give us what we're supposed to be doing next. So if we go into what it means to erupt like a volcano, I'm just going to go ahead and read it. I'm not even going to give an explanation because I don't think one is necessary. When rock from the mantle melts and moves to the surface through the crust and releases pent-up gases, volcanoes erupt. Extremely high temperature and pressure causes the rock to melt and become liquid rock or magma. When a large body of magma has formed, it rises through the denser rock layers towards the surface, and then the volcano erupts. So scientifically speaking, that is exactly how volcanoes erupt. And I can pretty much compare that back to back with how my mouth is when I erupt like a volcano. The thing that really stood out to me here, though, is rock is at the foundation or the mantle of the volcano. So biblically speaking, what is our rock? Who is our rock? And what is our foundation? Our foundation should be Christ. He's the rock that we stand on, right? So when rock from the mantle melts and moves to the surface through the crust and releases the gases, the volcano erupts. Something's got to be pretty hot for a rock to melt, right? It might be the types of situations we put ourselves in. It might be the words that we're hearing, the people that we're talking to, the type of negativity that we're listening to, through conversations, through maybe someone who's giving a speech on the TV. It might be the news. It might be a favorite show that we watch. It might be the music that we listen to. What types of things are we putting inside of us where our rock is, where our foundation is? What types of things are we allowing to come in and to potentially melt our foundation, to potentially melt our rock that allows the volcano to erupt? Proverbs 18:7 says, I believe that's the scripture Pastor Calvin read earlier, a fool's mouth is his ruin and his lips are a snare to his soul. So a fool's mouth is his ruin and his lips are a snare to his soul. Ephesians 4:29, let no harmful word come out of your mouth, harmful to you, harmful to others. Instead, offer only fresh words that build others up when they need it most. That way, your good words will communicate grace to those who hear them. Well, who else hears your words? Do you have ears? I have ears. You have ears. If I'm speaking something, I'm speaking this word right now, and it's edifying me as I speak because I'm listening to it. But if I'm just spurring out negativity and if I'm spurring out gossip or if I'm spurring out something that isn't, I'm listening to that. So it's not only damaging the people that are hearing us, it's damaging yourself. You are damaging yourself when you say those things. I am damaging myself when I say those things. I'm threatening my rock and my foundation. So if we truly desire to attain the likeness of Jesus and his compassion and good character, we need to practice communicating grace, as it says in Ephesians 4:29. Going back to Proverbs 18:21, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, is in the power of what we say. Because if you think about it, in Genesis, how was the world created? In the beginning, God spoke, and there it was. So if we're created in his image, we have that power to speak, and there it is, whatever it is we spoke. You know, a lot of people in the world like to claim, you know, oh, there's karma, there's, you know, what goes around comes around. And really, it's all within our words. If we're speaking something negative over someone, it potentially has the power to become. I didn't put it here, but it also says in Isaiah, God says that when he releases his words, they don't come back void. They go out and they set out to do what it is he called them to do. When he said, let there be light, there was. When he said, let there be darkness, there was. There wasn't a, and then God was waiting to see if the light was going to come forth. After about 4 days of waiting, it happened. That's not how God works. He speaks and it happens. And so that's how our words work. We need to make sure that our words are speaking life over ourselves, over our family and our situations, over our children. The things we say not only hurt them, but they hurt us and they hurt what God's purpose is for those people. Because we're speaking these things, we're cursing these things onto people instead of speaking life and speaking things that build them up and that edify them. So we need to practice communicating grace, which is what God is all about. 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love our brothers. We know that we have passed. We've already passed it. We have passed out of death and into life. It shouldn't be a back and forth thing every day. And I know I struggle with this. I ask God, let my words be life today. Let they be edifying. Let me have good conversations today. Positive conversations that glorify you. That's what my desire is, because, you know, sometimes depending on our mood, depending on a situation, we might speak something that's death and not life. And when your true desire is to please God and to speak life into others because you want to love others the way God loves them, you realize that, and the Holy Spirit will bring that up to you. Proverbs 12:28 says, "In the path of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death." So if we are to be high-minded, as righteous means, if we are to be pure, if we are to be principled, if we are to have high standards, then there is no death in our pathway. So we need to watch out with what we speak. And the last thing I'd like to share is in Deuteronomy 30, we get a choice. God speaks of a choice that we get in his word. We can choose life or we can choose death. You can't go anywhere in between. So what is it that we're choosing? What are we choosing every day? Are we choosing to speak life and to be sober-minded, to be clear-minded of the things we're saying? Or are we choosing to be in eruption mode or on cruise control and not know the things that we're saying? So are we choosing life or are we choosing death? Give me liberty or give me death. All right.
Thank you, Jasmine. How many parents do we have here? How many times have we said to our child, "Watch your tongue. You watch what you're saying." How many times did our parents say it to us? "You better watch your mouth, boy." You know, in my generation, it was, "I'm going to wash your mouth out with soap." Yeah. I mean, you know, common sense and good motherhood tells us to pay attention to what we're saying. Who was that famous person that said, "If you can't say something good, keep your mouth shut"? Thank you, Jasmine. That was awesome. Awesome. We should have taped that. We could sell it. That was beautiful. Well, give Jasmine a hand. Yeah. And our next service is Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. We'll be having a prayer from 9:15 to 9:45, pre-service here in the prayer room. If anybody wants to come and has something needs to pray about, well, we can take care of that. So anyway, everybody have a really super duper day tomorrow and a super duper week the rest of the week. Is school out? When's the last day? This the last day? So we should be, I guess that's where everybody is tonight. They're all went party, huh? I know when I used to go to school, that last day was, the best day of the year. Best day of the year for me. Well, God bless you. Have a great day, great life. We love you. We appreciate you. Amen.